You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, rated the number one podcast of all time.
Of all time. Make sure you're ready, because this is the podcast where you are guaranteed to learn virtually everything.
Yeah, well, this is the Brian Callen Show. I've got Tom Segura. Segura is a what is that? What
kind Spanish. Of
name?
Spanish.
Yeah. That's Segura. You have such a Spanish look to you.
No, I don't.
Oh, no, you do. You have a long aquiline nose, piercing, piercing Castilian eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the symmetry in your shoulders is
Spanish.
Honestly, breathtaking. it's breathtaking.
Do you think I look like a Sephardic Jew?
You look exactly like a Spanish Sephardic Jew.
Yeah.
Segura were a famous family of Spanish rabbis until they were forced to convert.
You know your history.
Yeah, by the Christians.
I remember this.
Or was it the Muslims?
Both of them.
It was both. The Muslims, then the Christians, and then they were forced to convert. But I don't know if you've seen my stand-up, and obviously—
I studied your
stand-up.
Yeah,
that's what I get a lot from. I'm usually referred to as the comedian's comic.
Yes.
And I don't know if, you know, I don't go buying a ticket, but this Friday, which would be October 11th, and then the 12th, Saturday, and then on the Lord's Day, the 13th, the Sabbath, I'm doing stand-up at the Houston Improv.
So great city. That's a great town.
It's a great town, and I hope they've bolted the stage down, because I'll be bringing heat.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in Buffalo the weekend after that. Have you done Buffalo Helium? I'll be there.
No, I did.
17th, 18th, 19th.
I did Philly Helium. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've done the Philly Helium. I loved it.
That's amazing.
Did you
club.
Like it? I like Philly, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where are you going to be?
This weekend, the 10th through the 12th of October, I'll be at Comics at Foxwoods Comedy Club
done
and
it.
Casino.
How is done it? Done it in Connecticut.
Yes. How is it?
It's good.
It's good?
It's a casino in the middle of a forest.
How's the casino? Is it a nice venue? Is it a nice casino?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think so.
The room? How's
I'm not
the hotel
crazy
room?
About casinos.
I know.
I don't like being in one place where I can't go anywhere, but it certainly is.
Good restaurants in the casino?
Yeah. There's a steak place there. I ate some steak. I met some friends from high school there. I had good shows there.
What about the gym? I mean, I got to do the gym every
morning. All
right,
dude. Well, you know, I mean, what kind of workout are you looking to do? Because, you know, what I would do is I would throw a knife in my teeth and I would go hunt deer because I was obviously in the middle of the woods. It was poaching. I mean, I would have gotten caught, but, like, they're going to catch me.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't disappear in the woods. Like a search team would have a chance against
Blink
my survival skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I blend in with the woods. What kind of workout are you looking to do?
I want to do just like 3 hours of iron.
Seems a lot. It seems a lot, hours of iron. No wonder your shoulders are...
And two hours of cardio, and then that's it.
That's 5 hours of exercise, dude.
It's just what I want to do on like a Saturday.
Is that what you do on a Saturday? You take 5 hours to
I figure those kids are fucking playing ball on college for me.
Yeah.
I go, I'll put my work in for you.
Wow.
That's the way I look at it.
Wow.
Give a little back.
Yeah. And do you find you use your – because you're fairly stationary when you do your stand-up. I mean, you're painfully funny, but it's not as though you're using
moving
your –
around?
You're not moving around a great deal, and I'm wondering why you would work out for five straight hours.
When my cousin – you know when people, like, in your life who you don't need, like, to hear criticism from? Like, you know, it's like – it's one thing if, like, your agent or somebody – I don't know, maybe one of your friends, you're like, hey, what'd you think of my performance in – fucking Hangover, and they're like, you know what, I like them. And there's people that
that critique you that have, like, no business critiquing you. It's like my buddy who's a UFC fighter, Brendan.
Yeah.
Literally, the Denny's waiter goes, dude, when you went for your double leg, you touched your knee. You don't want to do that, dude.
Right. And
he's like, are you kidding me? Get me my fucking eggs and shut up.
And also, you're welcome for the fucking tap out.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Why are you giving me advice? My cousin watched my half hour special, right? I'm on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
All I need to hear from a cousin is like, great job.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
Loved watching you on TV.
Right.
That's where it needs to end. He's like, watched your half hour. I'm like, thank you, man. He's like, well, hold on. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
He goes, and he knows he's not a performer. Like, doesn't
do it. Oh, it's so great.
And he goes, you know, you're very still on stage. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what I would do is, maybe just a little more movement, even if it's just reaching for that bottle of water He's like, I would like to watch that more. Just a little more.
He's your cousin's genius, and he's great. I need him to critique me.
Oh, he would. He's like, you know what I enjoy? It's just a little bit of activity going on would make it more fun to watch. And I was like, thank you, man. Do you have anything else you want to add? Like, and then I was kind of waiting for him to be like, otherwise I enjoyed it. He was like, no, that's it. Just work on that.
Just work on that.
Yeah.
Work on your movement. What does he do for a living?
He's an editor.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd had to edit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's visual.
He's a visual guy.
He should still shut up.
You know what the best part about the editor? He's a gifted editor. Works a lot. He's done a lot of television, done movies. The guy, for an editor, he can't tell you a fucking story. Which I find so hilarious because...
Well, he can edit a story. He can't tell a story. There is a difference.
Right, but he can't edit down telling you a story. In other words, if he tells you a story...
Oh, he tells a long
story.
You're
like, bro, just fucking get to the... Like, what happened? And your
job... A lot
of
women do that, by the way.
It's a female thing?
Very much. Women will describe the windowsill.
That's true.
And you're
That's
like, true. You are killing me. And then they'll go off on a tangent on the person that they're going to tell a story about and how they got to know him 20 years ago.
Right.
You're like, look, I'm taking deep breaths right now. I'd rather stick something sharp in my eye than listen to this terrible story.
They don't realize how much we appreciate a story. Not even, I don't even mean like performers. I mean offstage, just storytelling
skills.
You know what
my wife said, told me? She goes, we drove by this area and she goes, you know what? The other day, we were looking for a parking space and a truck moved and we parked right there.
And you're like,
and I went, that is a good story. And she goes,
fuck you.
She goes, fuck you. And I was like, no, that is a, what kind of truck was it though? Like, don't ever waste my fucking time or I'm going
to
come out.
How long did you wait after he left to park there? Did you go right away or did you take
Are you a quick park? Do you pause in case or... Yeah, that's the kind of thing. Although an editor, it makes sense that his mind works that way because what he was doing is he saw what you did and had to put in his 2 cents.
Right.
I kind of forgive that.
No, I
because
I
he's an editor.
He works, you know, in the, like under the umbrella of entertainment.
My buddies, I was doing this arc on Seventh Heaven and my buddy's father, he said, tell Brian, it's a good job. I'm watching him. He moves his head a little too much. Tell him to stop moving his head.
Unbelievable.
And he might have been right, but
it's unbelievable.
It's amazing. It's okay. I guess if you want to tell an actor or a performer something, it's something that comes to the territory, you kind of giggle, or maybe they're right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fighting thing cracks me up. When my buddies who are pro fighters and people say, you got to keep your hands up, bro. Hey, dude, you've never been in a ring, never put on a glove. What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you
about?
Talking about?
But everybody wants to feel like they can contribute.
They
That's
also,
life.
You know, they also, they do that especially with team sports too, you know, basketball, football.
Yeah,
you know,
oh
you
my
go on
God.
Twitter and they're
oh,
like,
yeah.
You need to fucking post up a little bit more in the paint. It's like, you know, I think Coach will handle that this week. I don't know if he needs
I've even
you.
Done that about, I've done that with Chad Pennington of the Jets, who I loved as a quarterback, who was always getting hurt. And,
he got wrecked so
well,
much.
Well, yeah, he was such a promising athlete. But I would always say, I'd be like, dude, you got to have a faster release. You're floating that ball. You're just floating it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's almost part of the fun of watching sports.
It is. I always
he
think
knows
it's funny.
That. They all know
the
that.
The guys got to fucking laugh when they open their Twitter and they're like, oh, fucking Cardio 221 just tweeted me that I need to fucking you know lower my hips when I wrap up on these tackles, whatever it's called.
Like it's stop just being an arm tackler.
Yeah, you're like, thanks, pal.
I think that's a form of bonding among men.
It is, right?
You know, it's almost like that. That's what guys do when a girl walks in and they'll critique her. Meanwhile, you're looking at the guys going, dude, you haven't eaten a vegetable in 10 years. Shut up. Look, you're a horror show, and that girl's a 7. And you're breaking her down.
It's the fattest guy I know is the loudest guy I know about no fat chicks allowed. Like, he's the biggest fucking pig I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want anything to do with a fat chick. And I'm always like, do you know
do
what you
know
look
what
like,
you
man?
You are. Like, you would look like a fat chick with a beard. That's what
and
you say to
he's
him.
Like, I don't give a fuck. And he just talks about how people never, you know, I'm like, dude.
Have you ever catcalled a girl?
Have I what?
Have you ever catcalled a chick from a car?
Nah, it's not really my...
No, I don't. I know you're a decent human being. I can't ever see Tom Segura catcalling. I was with my friends. I've never done it either. I don't like that stuff because I just feel like I'm being a bully. I don't want to scare the girl, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And also, I'm just not a scumbag. But I was with a really great guy. I didn't know him well, but he's friends with Artie Lang, and he's a great guy, and he's a really, really kind person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll say his name. His name is Deitch. He's a great guy. But it cracked me up because I was with Artie and Deitch and somebody. This is how long. This is 20 years ago in New York City. And Deitch is the kindest human being in the world. He really is. But he was sitting behind me. I think I was driving, and this beautiful girl walks by in the Village with high heels. And he literally goes like this. In my ear, I didn't even realize, I got so startled. I just hear him go, "All day with you. All day. All day with you.
Jesus.
With you." And he was trying to be complimentary. He just meant like she's beautiful. She got so, the two of us went, like what the fuck? Like his voice was so aggressive and loud. And he's kind of a big, handsome Italian kid.
It's got to be, you realize that it has to be somewhat of a curse to be a gorgeous woman in the world, right?
Yeah, well, we forced her in the car.
Well, yeah, you guys have to do that.
Yeah, no. I guess it'd get exhausting. It's kind of like being a celebrity.
I think so, right?
Yeah, every guy wants to bang you.
Right.
Right? I mean, even if they don't, even if they're not going to bang you, they want to bang you.
And you get looks that celebrities get, which is like, if you're a gorgeous woman, then you just get... People always, you know, they look. Yeah. They're looking down. They look up, and they're like, "Oh, hi."
Have you ever had a beautiful woman tell you you're attractive and been shocked?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're a comic, so you get off stage. You're not a bad looking guy. You're right. A big burly bear of a man.
But and you're like, thrown by it. Yeah.
I was on a plane, and I was I wore a blazer. I wear this blazer and this shirt all the time.
What color blazer, what color shirt?
It's a blue blazer, and I believe the shirt's a cream.
Custom-made blazer?
No, it's All Saints.
It's what?
It's All Saints. But my shoulders carry anything beautifully, as you know.
You look like you need bespoke, though. I mean, those are some... some cuts and curves in there. I don't see them most guys.
My lower extremities, my legs, my ass, it just is obscene the way it pops out. It's so athletic. I mean, I have the ass of a high jumper, an Olympic high jumper.
Yeah.
And to say nothing of my well-developed quads and my calves. My calves are Popeye calves.
I was studying all that in Toronto.
Yeah.
Watching you move.
Yeah. And then
you have the same problem as me. You don't move on stage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I stay very, very still. I would never rob the masses of my movement because I am harmony. I am supple. I am like Mercury. And that's not me. That's the New York Times.
Yeah.
But my waist is tiny. Anyway, but the point is I'm on a plane. Yeah. If you're on a plane, I slept most of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up and I go to the bathroom a couple of times, and there are these two very attractive stewardesses. And I noticed one of them had let her hair down. She was like this Spanish beauty, and I was like, geez, you know, I was kind of looking, but not trying to be a creep. But I was like, gee whiz, you know, these girls, what the hell are they doing being, you know, I mean, it's like they could model or
flight
something.
Attendants.
Yeah.
What is this, 1963?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Where are your cellophane dresses, honey? Let me get a scotch and soda, please, with some shaved ice. And as I was getting off, and by the way, I'm flying coach. I'm not like you. I don't fly first class. I'm flying coach.
Jesus Christ.
And as I get off, she grabs my arm. And she says, "I just want you to know that all of us have a total crush on you. And we've been talking about you all flight." And I went, and you know what I said? I was like, I'm so flattered. I'm married. Too bad. And everybody was waiting. She stopped the line. And I was the first time I was actually rather, I was a little embarrassed, which usually I wouldn't be.
I don't know how to handle compliments like that. Not like that I get them all the time, but the times that I have,
you're a shy man.
Yeah. And I'm saying even like if I was, when I was single and I got hit on and that's a perfect thing to go into. You know, the big compliment would throw me off.
Well, I felt guilty as hell when I was banging both of them, you know,
on the plane?
No, later that night.
Oh, later
of course.
That night.
Yeah,
you're
I just
decent.
Felt guilty. Not because I was doing it, but I just didn't use a condom and they're pregnant now. But the point is this. Pause. Anyway.
You don't think they'd recognize you, though, and that's why they had a crush on you? the recognizer?
I don't know. But
can
probably,
I tell you what I think
probably.
A big part of that is?
What?
I think a big part
by
of that.
By the way, I didn't have sex with him. I'm kidding, everybody.
You're a very handsome man. But I don't think it's just that.
I dyed my beard. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of it is, in this day and age, there is no longer a really that much of a culture of dressing well. Like
that's
true. It was used to be that's almost mandatory.
That's right.
And seeing a guy who's not in a business meeting suit and
but stylish.
Doesn't, stylish, it yeah. stands out. You go overseas, my God, when I was in London walking down the street, I was pausing and turning my head at every dude walking around in yeah. this crazy
I know.
Style. It looked amazing.
It looks great.
It looks awesome. Every guy looks like a million bucks.
I wish I had a lifestyle sometimes where I had to dress that way.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah, because you and I look at this. We showed up in fucking t-shirts and jeans.
Yeah.
And I'm in Crocs.
How great would we look in fucking suits right now?
We should be in suits. In fact, I'm going to make it mandatory for any guests to come to my podcast to be
wear
in
suit.
A Stokes. The
you know you'd be looking.
Suit.
Don't act like you wouldn't be charmed by our suits.
Marina Marie would
yeah.
I would be.
For
yeah,
sure.
See?
Our lovely engineer, Rina Marie Villano. I like Europe is a place I've always fantasized. I actually have a fantasy of being, you know, as I look in mirror, it's funny, as you get older, you go, well, this is the best looking I'm going to be. And,
right.
And tomorrow's going to be a little less. And then the next day,
yeah.
you know, I'm
Fades.
It's all downhill
yeah.
and it's okay. I dyed my beard, you know, just to see what it would look like. And I have to say, I still got it. The kid has still got it. I still, no wonder they still call
the
me the
great guy. Has still got
the
it.
Guy, that's your nickname for me. The
yeah,
great guy.
The great guy.
I appreciate that. But I have a
it
fantasy of being a. I have a fantasy of being. I just did it. My buddy Anthony told me to do it. He goes, dye your beard.
How'd you do it? You went and got.
I used that for men only.
And which brown did you pick?
Dark brown. Does it work or no?
It looks good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It took me 5 minutes. I was like, all right,
do you
I'll
put
try.
It everywhere? Is that how you
yeah,
do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I just did. I just combed it in, then I washed it off.
But
I mean, it works. I was surprised. I don't give a shit about my
see,
beard.
I got
the only reason I actually did it was because I saw myself on video, and I'm gray in weird places, so it looks like it looks spotty. It looks like I have holes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look good on camera. It looks like I can't, if I'm auditioning for something, it looks like shit. It's
yeah.
distracting.
Right.
I don't mind gray at all, but anyway. But I have this fantasy of, as I get older, I want to be, I want to smoke a pipe, I want to wear tweed jackets,
mm-hmm.
I want to sit and read leather-bound books, and I want to tell stories to my grandchildren.
These are all good.
Yeah, and I want a dog. I think I want a shepherd. I want a big German shepherd.
Big German.
A well-trained shepherd. German shepherd. A dog that means business.
Yeah.
You can pet. A dog you can release in a playground because the dog understands to differentiate. You understand? I'll speak this way as well, I think. I think as I get older, my voice, and as I become more and more educated, I think I'll probably speak. Not really as though I'm from England, but certainly educated from the Northeast.
You could wrap me up in any conversation.
Thank you very much.
That was really
friend.
Good. I want to sit. Around a fire.
You have a good voice. Do you do voiceovers?
No.
Why?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's a real purr, a real resonance. A real, there it is.
I should try.
I mean, for the Stradivarius violin, I mean, a man searches high and low for that particular wood.
Well, you know what I'll do is I'll send a copy of this to my agent and manager and say, what do you guys think?
I like that. Mm. Just that. I think you should just do this. See how I can't? My voice breaks.
Yeah.
But I still haven't reached full puberty.
Yeah, you're
I'm
just
still,
a,
I'm still growing.
What are you, 12, 13?
Physically, I'm 13 in my dick area.
Can I ask you this?
Yes.
You mentioned years ago you were hanging out in New York City with Artie Lang.
Yes.
And more than anybody, since I've started doing comedy, people tell me I look like Artie.
You look so much like Artie to me.
Really?
Yes. And
okay.
What's funny is that you look like Artie 15 years ago.
Is that a healthier Artie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
I mean, Artie, you know, by his own admission, has gone through the ringer with...
well, sure. That's not, it's no secret.
Substance
sure.
abuse. But it ages you. But you couldn't look more like Artie.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never
it's
met
crazy.
Him. It's crazy. I want to meet him now just so we
He's
can...
He's the best.
Artie
Lang,
Artie Lang,
I did a podcast with Artie Lang. It's one of the funniest things. Artie Lang is, to me, I have to say, I think he's probably off the cuff funny for the funniest person I've ever met.
That's why that medium was so good for him. I mean, when he
yeah.
sat third mic on Stern,
yeah.
the guy chiming in. And there are guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that people don't realize, too, about comedy that, like, only I think comics recognize the most is that one doesn't equal the other in so many things. A good comic on stage doesn't mean good off the cuff, doesn't mean good actor.
That's right.
Doesn't mean good writer. Good writer doesn't mean good actor or good comic.
That's
good
so
tweeter
true.
Doesn't mean any of the other. You know what I mean? It's like some people are gifted in that they are so good at multiple ones. But sometimes, a lot of times, it's they're good at one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's actually 100% true. I think because it takes so much to get really good at one thing.
I think that's
right?
it, true.
I mean,
yes.
You know, I think I hope that I'm able to be not just a comic, and I'm happy with where I'm going with my stand-up, but I hope I can write a great script.
Yeah,
that's my goal.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Have you read The Anatomy of Story?
No, you told me to read
that. Well, I just had
him
on the podcast.
Oh, you did?
Oh, man. He's going to be on. I don't know. I think you're going to air and then he'll air. But John Truby is he's kind of astounding. He was a philosophy major in college. He's made a fortune as a script doctor. He is, you know.
The man.
I think he's the guy that you go to when he speaks all over the world. And I was just sort of awed with how he came up with how to create basically a manual, the Bible on how to write, because writing is a craft.
Yeah.
You have to read it. You have to read it. Everybody should read it. Even if you're not a writer, I think you should read it because it's a really interesting commentary on human beings and how human beings behave and think and what story really is, which is really when you have the protagonist and the antagonist, the enemy and the opponent, you know, the hero and his opponent. It's really an argument. It's really a moral argument for how one should behave in the world. The bad guy says might makes right usually, and the good guy says something to the effect of no, you know, you've got to be kind to others and put yourself last. I mean, that's one of the classic archetype, you know, kind of thing with, you know, Star Wars for example, the original myths. And stories are variations on those kinds of themes. But the way he breaks stuff down, like he just talks about how a human being. Certainly a hero has a desire. You know, you desire something, and you desire the girl. But in the end, you actually have a very different need. So most of what we as human beings have, a desire. This town's full of people who have a desire for fame and money.
Right.
They don't need that. They need something else.
Right.
They're chasing that. They're climbing that wall. And when they get to the top of that wall, hopefully they realize – oh no, I don't like the view up here, or this was the wrong wall.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta actually, what I've needed has been here all along. That's kind of the idea. I mean, and I think that resonates. I think it resonates with us in metaphorical form, i.e., story, whether it's play or book or movie, because it's inside of us. Because we have natural sort of original nostalgia for that kind of motif. I think we inherently understand that is good. Unless you're a sociopath. I think most of us have a gnawing...
A lot of sociopaths in this town.
There are. But a lot of us have a gnawing understanding that of a certain kind of presence, that presence being there is a moral way to live. And usually we're kind of brushing it. We're going back and forth and we're touching it, but we're not living in it. And that's not easy to do.
Why do you think, I mean, you have an understanding so obviously of story and what makes a good story. Why are so many Hollywood movies so bad right now? Don't you feel like this is a horrible era?
I think
every fucking week
it's a golden age
movie.
Of TV.
Right.
Because you have serial TV. You have more time to develop characters. Whereas I think one of the problems with movies and one of the reasons that movies are suffering the way they are maybe is because... It's become so expensive and you are catering to an overseas crowd. But I think also, I actually believe that it's the way the structure of Hollywood works sometimes. And I'll explain what I mean. There is no question that there is a way to make a great movie.
Yeah.
And those rules and principles are violated all the time in Hollywood in the name of expediency. They will take a shortcut by using a very famous guy or, you know, girl, and they think that's going to compensate. But if the story's structure, if it's not on the page first, I would suggest that that's why you'll never get a movie off the ground. You have to have a good story before you do anything.
Yeah.
And then the rest is there are 500 different moving parts. But I think that the reason you don't see the kinds of movies that you should is because the people with power are the people with the purse strings, more so than ever before, mm-hmm. I would imagine. I might be naive about this, but I think for the most part, the people making the decisions are not the director as much. They are the studio. They are the number crunchers. They are the people that looking at everybody as a number.
Mm-hmm.
The other idea, though, I think, is that there's not a lot of original thought and talent. What happens is you get a sort of an idea, and then you put a bunch of talented people around that idea. What they forget is that the idea and its execution has to come usually from one single inspirational source.
Sure.
Think about any great movie or any great TV show or any, I mean, Vince Gilligan's Breaking Bad. That came from him, from soup to nuts. And then when you have, you know, when the inspiration has been completed, when that circle has been closed, then you add a bunch of people who are good at executing the idea. But you have to have, but I don't believe that things, I don't believe greatness comes from necessarily collaboration. Great art comes from collaboration. I don't even believe anything comes from collaboration until later. The initial inspiration, whether it's nuclear fusion, I mean, nobody helped Einstein develop the theory of relativity and push him along to, you know, what now the unification theory, the notion of string theory or whatever it might be. Or nobody helped Newton come up with the proofs that allowed him to work Fig Newtons, formulate the theory of gravity, mm-hmm. Centripetal force, calculus. Those theorems were thought up by him alone in a room. Now, he said that if I've seen further than other men, it's only because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. He was speaking, by the way, of Copernicus and Galileo and those people that came before him or were his contemporaries. But I'm just saying that I think that overall Hollywood makes the mistake of not understanding that inspiration comes from a single source first. Your stand-up, which is great, by the way,
thanks,
all bullshit
buddy.
Aside, and it really is, you're a real comic. And when I say we performed for 3,000 people, and I was watching you, and you were standing still with a mic in front of 3,000 strangers and destroying them. And, you know, that didn't come from anybody helping you. That came from you mining who the fuck you are and what makes you laugh in a room alone.
Right.
And the goodies come from them thar hills, man. And then you have a mic and you need lighting and you need a theater and you need people.
The execution,
to,
you need collaboration.
Yeah, but nobody helped you do that, create that particular skill set.
Right.
Which is very difficult. You know, very few people can do that, at least on the caliber that you do it.
You're a very passionate guy. I like that.
Yeah. I think life is worth being passionate about. I think if you're bored about life, you're a dum-dum.
Yeah.
And hopefully this podcast, I swear to God, the idea behind it is I make, you know, it's not going to get me rich, but the idea of this podcast is to figure out a way to create my own pocket of inspiration for people who are younger.
You know, I do the I do a podcast twice a week with my wife, which is like our.
I love that you do that with
our
your
bread
wife.
And butter.
It's
yeah,
so awesome.
It's called Your Mom's House, right? And it's just it's silly, and the entire goal of that show is just the intent is to make people laugh. I mean, the show is done. It's with audio drops, and it's just
really,
of course. Oh yeah, I mean, it's just it's silly.
I love that.
It's so much fun. But on top of that, I realized that I love talking about football. So I created a second podcast where every week I just get somebody on the phone. Like I had Lorenzo Neal and Bill Burr call in,
right?
And we just talk about football. And then I put it out there just like not to make money. It's just because I realize I enjoy talking about football. It doesn't fit the other show that I have going on, so I did it.
This is like what I do with the 10-Minute Podcast or The Fighter and the Kid with Brennan Schaub. It's like, you know, I mean, we're on Fox, and I guess it's doing really well, but you know, for the most part, we just started because I wanted to talk about fighting.
Sure.
I love it.
Yeah. I love talking about football.
What is your Who's your team?
Well, I'm a bigger college fan than I am an NFL fan, and I'm a Florida State fan, and they're having a great year so far. Big game in 2 weeks versus Clemson.
What's your call on Tebow? I mean, I think he's got offers.
He's
a lot for being a tight end.
I think if he sticks to his guns about demanding that he has to play quarterback, which is his dream and what he wants to do, I feel like it's not going to happen. He's not going to get picked up.
Why is it so hard for Tim Tebow to play quarterback in the NFL? He's such a big, strong guy with such a great attitude and such a work ethic. Is it that hard to change your throw?
It is that hard. Jesus. Not that many people can do it. The big criticism of his throw is the mechanics of it. Just he telegraphs where he's throwing.
Yeah.
And you can't give up. I mean, the window is so much smaller.
In the pros.
And then that's the one thing that's so different. Now, I will say in his defense, he did go on a run when he was in Denver starting.
But
that
was before Denver and before those defenses figured him out. Right?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is that I think you have the measurables and you can say that, you know, his throwing motion is this and, you know, he might not be this and that and you go, that's what's wrong. But there is something to be said in all sports, whether you're talking about MMA stuff or you're talking about baseball or football or basketball, the guy is a proven winner. I mean, people love him in the locker room. They love him on the field.
He's a great guy from what I hear.
Everybody
loves
him.
My buddy Brennan's a good friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Brennan Brennan defends him, man. Brennan likes him so much that if you say anything about Tim, even that he's not going to play quarterback in, you know, the NFL, Brennan will jump to his defense.
Really?
I mean, he elicits that. You can't help but love the guy, apparently.
I think everybody that comes in contact with the guy feels that way. I still think he's not going to play any more quarterback.
It's such a bummer.
I know. He could be H-back. He could be a fullback. He could be...
Well, that's what they're talking about making him. But isn't that a whole different position? Isn't that hard?
It's a completely different position. But the guy, he's a beast. You know, he's one of the guys.
Brennan, you know how big Brennan is.
Oh, my, yeah.
Tebow's stronger than Brennan.
Absolutely. When Tim Tebow was at University of Florida and their starting Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, they had to tell him to stop bench pressing because he was getting so swollen and they were scared, A, that he might injure himself, but B, they're like, we don't need you to bench 440.
Yeah,
you don't need your quarterback. And he, I mean, you know, but he trucked people. I mean, he would absolutely.
Yeah, he just moves huge amounts of weight.
He's a
handsome son of a bitch.
Handsome son of a bitch. And if that dude wants to put his hand in the dirt and play tight end or fullback, I bet you he could do it. He's a good enough athlete.
He's a good enough athlete.
Absolutely.
That much of a workhorse.
I just don't think it's going to happen for
him.
Quarterback. I just don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I definitely wish him. It is crazy.
I mean, when Belichick, when they brought him into the, you know, the tryouts or in training camp and he didn't make it.
I didn't realize that
much about football.
I'm not a homer. He went to the school that that I hate the most.
That's right.
Because I'm a Florida State fan.
I'm
a reasonable fan, and I can tell you when like who's good and who's. I don't just see it like you know.
Well, that's why I asked you though, because you are on the receiving end of of that kind of pain.
Oh my God, he dished it out, and he's the other thing. The people that play with him are inspired by him. Guys that are his teammate. He's one of those guys that really does light up a room, and people are inspired to be around
him. It's got to be tough, though, when you realize you can't do the one thing.
That you want. I know.
You can say whatever you want, but when somebody takes that away from you, damn, man.
You're not going to do it, man.
You better have a faith in God, because I don't know what I would do.
I know.
My God is, you know, the notion of potential and discovery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I think about.
Hey, do you want to write? I kept thinking about this. Do you want to write? You know, you say you want to write a great script. Do you want it to be a comedy or a drama or like a specific genre?
You know, it'll be a comedy to an extent, but I think the movies that spoke to me the most were movies like Breakfast Club, the John Hughes films.
Oh wow, yeah.
You know, those were, you know, but then there was there was Raging Bull, and there was, you know, but I just love stories of redemption and stories where somebody basically starts as a boy and ends as a man.
Yeah.
I like that. I love that motif. I love the question. I'm exploring always the question of what is a man? what is masculinity? How do you navigate that in today's world?
Is a big part of that your father?
I don't know. I suppose. I mean, I grew up with this sort of archetypal father, you know, but more than that, it might have been just my own inadequacies in the face of what I considered to be great masculinity. But also a feeling like a man. I'm aggressive, man.
Yeah.
I've never felt more at home than when I used to fight, you know, or wrestle, or, you know, I miss that. I still do it.
We are made to feel bad somewhat in this culture about being
aggressive.
Being
stereotypically male, I
yes,
suppose.
That's true.
But no, I reject that. I can't stand people like that. I don't listen to that bullshit. I think it's a lie. I think they're the ones lying.
Yeah.
I pay attention to my DNA. I pay attention to the flesh as well as the spirit. Both are competing with each other. But I feed the beast, you know.
If it
means I want to punch mitts and pretend I'm a fighter, if it means I want to roll around and do jiu-jitsu and try to lock somebody in a darce choke or something, whatever the case, there's something very satisfying about imposing my will on another man who's bigger and realizing maybe I could beat him up if I was in a prison yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's artificial and simulated, but I don't care. It calms me down.
I'll masturbate in a public park.
Well, now, hold on. Now, you just took a turn there. I'm saying,
I'm a man, and I'll do what I want.
And
I'll do it on a man who's eating a sandwich.
I'm going to have to ask you to not use that as an example.
It's a perfect example. No, it's exactly in line with what you were just saying.
No, see, but it's not. No, I feel like you really made a left turn here.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's illegal, and also—
No, it's not.
You want to masturbate on a man eating a sandwich.
You're being the enemy of masculinity. I'm a guy. I'm in the park.
Yeah.
I feel like releasing myself on somebody eating a sandwich.
Yeah, but do you know the guy?
No, of course
not. Well, you can't just come on a sandwich eater.
I'm a bigger man than him. I can do what I want to him.
That is outrageous. It's sexual misconduct, and I'm putting it lightly, and you're just going to walk up and just dump on him?
See, you're the problem.
No, I'm not the problem.
You
can't just come on guys who are eating a sandwich. You can't come on guys, period, unless it's consensual.
You're the problem with society today, trying to tell guys when and who and why they should not come on somebody.
No, that's not what I was talking about, man.
I may have misunderstood you.
You did misunderstand me. You're damn it. You can never get the metaphor and the train of thought that I'm trying to arrive at.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
I've only done that like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I was drunk.
Fine.
You eating that sandwich? And then you drop your card. You drop your stand. Come to my show sometime.
Yeah, we're in the improv on Saturday.
What noise do you make when you have an orgasm?
All right, think. I go,
Oh, well, that's fucking gross.
And then I go,
why are you looking up, dude?
Because I'm trying to picture it, and then I'm also, a lot of times my eyes roll back.
Oh, God. No.
And then I go,
God. Why do you do that?
Because it feels so good.
Final.
I shoot unbelievable.
Really?
Amounts.
You must have a tiny prostate or a big prostate.
I don't know which it is,
You shoot heavy loads?
Big time.
Jesus Christ.
You know how your penis contracts?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, that pump. I don't know what it's called. You know what I mean? When you have an orgasm.
Sure.
My minimal count, I've studied this quite a bit on myself, is around 11 or 12.
Are you kidding me?
And sometimes I get up to like the upper teens.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why are you not doing pornography?
Well, it's just a different path.
Do you ever just go, I'm glazing you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's
a lot. Do you ever just say, this is for you?
Yeah, I always go, what I try to do is—
Do you ever God bless somebody? Like, God bless you.
I try to go—
Sorry for anybody who's religious.
I always go like, sorry it wasn't that much, when I know it's a lot, you know?
That's crazy talk.
Yeah. Do you not? Well, tell me how many you shoot so I can know.
I'm not very, very average in that sense.
What is average? I don't even know.
Like a half a cup.
But I mean, like, how many pumps?
No, I don't know.
One, two. You can count in your head.
Yeah. Picture. I haven't actually. I'm usually hunched over and my knees are locked and I usually have a whip in my other hand. But I'm whipping myself.
Right.
I'm so guilty. Yes. Tom's and Gora. I say that sometimes.
I try to get my friends, my married friends, to say that one's for Tom when they have sex with their wife. I only got one to do it, though, and didn't really go.
It wasn't received well?
Well, yeah, he said, because it was like, I asked him to do it. He called me and said, happy birthday, and I was like, you know what, it'd be a cool birthday present, because he lives in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So when you have sex with your wife tonight.
Yeah.
Say,
did he videotape it, or at least audio tape it?
He did not. I wish I could have gotten
it. What do you want to say when you die?
What do I want to say? Like the last thing I want to say?
Yeah. That's the one thing, if you could say one cool thing.
That's a heavy question.
Yeah.
I think sorry. I would say, like, maybe, I wish I had more poached eggs.
That's pretty profound.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Huh. I love poached eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like poached eggs, too.
What would you say when you die?
I'd probably just say, you're welcome.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
If I saw you,
as you can tell, I would die coming. You're welcome.
If I saw you die,
yeah.
I would say, there goes the great guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then you would weep.
Oh,
you would weep at more than 15 pumps.
I told you this in Toronto. I want to see you more often.
Yeah, we got to spend more time together.
This is ridiculous.
And this podcast went by fast.
I know. Can we do a gig together, though?
Yeah, I swear to God, anytime you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, let's fly somewhere.
I would love to do that. Why don't we do that? It's ridiculous. I'd love to actually make that a point. Who books you?
I mean, you want my.
We'll talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Hold on.
Let's pick a market that is not strong for either of us.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I think Houston's going to be good.
No, by Houston's going to be.
I'll be in Houston this
great.
Weekend.
Yes.
You guys, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'll be in Buffalo the next weekend. Then I'll be in Calgary. And then I'll be in San Diego.
I'm going to be at. Comics at Fox was in Connecticut this weekend, the 10th through the 12th. And then the first weekend in November, I'm running my hour at Flappers in Burbank.
Wow.
November 2nd and 3rd. And then next weekend, I shoot it in Minneapolis, November 9th.
Oh.
So if you're in Minneapolis, you can come
Why
see
in
me.
Minneapolis?
I was talking to
about like a bunch. Whites?
I do. I love whites.
Mm-hmm.
I love that city. It's a great city.
Yeah, it's a great city.
They have a great comedy. Like sensibility, it's fun.
I like it. Where are you doing it?
At the Cowles Center.
All right.
I think that's what it's called.
I like it, dude. You should. That's Tom Segura, ladies and gentlemen. Tom, thank you for joining.
Thanks, Brian.
The Brian Callen Show.
Love you.
Love you, my friend. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you later. My thanks, as always, to my producer, Mike Casantini, and my lovely engineer, Rena Marie Milano. This is the kid signing off.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.